Sunday the 16th of February 2020, 10:45 service. Sermon series, God Speaks. Sermon title, The Heart of God. Bible reading, Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
The reading this morning is from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am rising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honour. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own strength is their God. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would open our hearts to this word. Open our hearts to you and your working amongst us as a church, as we come as one body for your glory's sake. Amen. There was a little lad came in late for Sunday school. Normally he was bang on time. Teacher was a little confused. She said, oh, little David, she said, why are you late? Oh, he said, in honesty, Mum, I was going to go fishing. But my dad said to me, no, David, you mustn't go fishing. You need to go to church. Oh, the teacher was over the moon. She was pleased with that. She said, and David, do you know why your daddy said that it's better to go to church than to go fishing? And he said, yes, Mum. He told me he only had enough bait for one. It's got nothing to do with today, but I quite liked it. We're talking about the heart of God. Anybody get one of these this year? Anybody get one of those? Valentine's card? A couple at the back, a couple at the back. That's mine. Now, I thought the idea was that you didn't know who sent it. To my darling husband. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I reckon even I could guess who that is from. Mrs. Court. And I sent her one too. You see? To. And she can guess who that's from. To my darling wife. Why? Well, because although the fun is in the fact that it's a bit of a secret, not really. Not really, is it? We want to know when someone loves us. We want to tell the person whom we love, I love you. And we want them to know, I love you. Like playing hide and seek. We all run off and hide. But actually the idea is that we get found, isn't it? We're not the Scarlet Pimpernel. We're not chuff that we've been in the airing cupboard 3 weeks and 4 days and nobody's found us yet, are we? You're hidden behind the curtain. What do you do if nobody comes and looks behind the curtain? You wiggle the curtain, don't you? You go, little cough. Why? Because the idea is that you're found. Deep down, when I give a Valentine card to Mrs. C, I don't want her guessing who is this from. I want her to know who it's from. It's from your darling husband who loves you lots. And it's a sign to remind you of that. And folks, that's what today is all about. That's what this passage is all about. God wanting people to know something. Ultimately, of course, God wanting people to know that he loves them dearly. Through you and through me. Us making known something of his love in the world. We've left Malachi behind. Now we head into the musings of Habakkuk, the 8th of the 12 minor prophets. But beyond that, we know very little about him. There's a fanciful idea. Do you remember 2 Kings 4? There's this story of a Shunammite woman whose son dies and Elisha comes and raises the son back to life. Do you remember that story? Some people think that that is who Habakkuk is. I think you've got more chance of West Ham winning the Premier League. But there we go. Who knows? Clever people say that his writing is probably in the 7th century BC. Who am I to argue? But the point is this, whether we know who he is or not, and we do not know who he is, but whether we know who he is or not, the main thrust of what he is saying is the just, the righteous, the church will live by their faith. Will live by their faith. In Wikipedia, they say that Habakkuk means the embracer of faith. You and I will embrace our faith. And of course, trouble is afoot. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you're not listening. You ever prayed that prayer? How long do I shout up to you, violence against me, but you don't come and save me? Well, as we know, because we've said it over and over recently, because it's really important. For us to get this idea is really important. God does not build bridges over troubled waters. He makes a way through troubled waters. And thank God he does. But that makes two things apparent. Two things apparent. Firstly, there are going to be troubled waters. For you and for me. For Christians, as well as for all the people out there. Wouldn't it be lovely if when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we were whisked off somewhere. Wouldn't that be great? Some idyllic island somewhere. A land filled with milk and honey. No hospitals. No prisons. No knife crime. Just a glass-bottomed boat and some pina colada and Akkabilk playing Strangers on the Shore all day. Be lovely, wouldn't it? But hello! We're still here. With all the rest of them. Living this life that is really difficult. And I'm a vicar. If anybody should be there, it'd be me, wouldn't it? But I'm not. And that's where Habakkuk finds himself. That's exactly where Habakkuk finds himself. There's madness and mayhem happening all around me, Lord, he cries. Shouldn't we have been carried off to some idyllic island by now, some Christian retreat house, away from it all? No, says God. No, no. That is not what it's like. But, and this is a massive but there is a difference for you and for me. We do have somewhere to turn when temptation strikes. When life gets too hard for us, when we can't make ends meet, when we lose a loved one. When our relationships are fraught, no bridge over the troubled waters, but somehow, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God helps us to navigate through them, to have the strength to get through them. And that's massive. Don't worry, says God, I've got plans for you, and they're plans to protect you and help you prosper right now, here and now, in this life. Now, I'm not a predestinationalist. Bit of a clever word there. Went to college 11 years ago. No, longer than that. 16. No, 20. Anyway, some people are predestined. So predestination means that they believe that God has all, before the first star ever twinkled in the sky, God has already decided who's going to heaven and who's not. He's already chosen. He's picked. Even in this room. I don't believe it. I genuinely don't believe that God has said these people will go to heaven and these people will go to hell. I don't believe that. I believe that Jesus said, whosoever believeth on me. Anyone, anywhere in the world, no favourites, anyone has an equal chance. Whosoever believeth on me shall. It's not a question, it's not a doubt, It's absolute positivity. Shall have eternal life. Not just the chosen frozen. Whosoever, anyone. And so the second thing is that there's a call by God on you and me. Because we're all right, Jack. But what about the people out there? To go out and spread the word. To go and tell people, folks, there is help at hand, if you want it, to help you get through all the things that you are facing in your life today. Not a bridge over troubled waters, but definite help to get you through troubled waters. And it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. Be salt and light. We've spoken about it over the last few weeks. Be salt and light and flavour society. That's the call on you and on me. Folks, I've only got two things today, but I think that they're really important things for St. Chad's Church and for where we are as a church today. And the first question is this: what's your burden? What's your burden? We're going to watch a little film clip here. Just note that the stretcher bearer is wearing exactly the same shirt as the guy who fouls the man in the first place. Have a watch of this. Amazing, isn't it? What's your burden and how are you carrying it? That's my question to you. Habakkuk thinks that he's having a go at God. He thinks that he's shouting at God. I think Bill Hybels would say that actually what's happening is God has placed a burden on Habakkuk's heart for the people of Israel. And that's why Habakkuk cannot stay silent. And there's a difference. Do you notice the difference? We know that God sees what is happening on this earth. I gave the example of Israel coming out from slavery under Egyptian rule. What is it that God said? What does God always say when he sees that his people are in trouble? He always says, I heard their cries and I saw their distress, doesn't he? Isn't that what he always says? Same is true of you and of me. Know it in your heart. God sees your cries and he hears your distress. Is that the right way around? And know this also, God loves prayer because it means that he is not forcing himself on us. Prayer is our activity. It means that we're partnering with God. Prayer is when we call out to God with whatever it is that is on our heart. And it's indicative that we have said yes to God. Otherwise, why would we be speaking to him in the first place? And so it's a fulfilling of our relationship with him. And when we do that, when we say yes to God, then the Holy Spirit starts to change our hearts to make them more like God's heart. And so what burdens God about this fallen world begins to burden you and I. Is there anybody in here wanting to learn any Hebrew? I'm going to tell you anyway. The Hebrew word for this kind of burden is masa. And it means to carry, hence the clip. It means to carry, to bear a load, to bear the heaviness of God's heart for something or for someone. And it's just a lovely picture, isn't it? As the Holy Spirit softens our hearts, gets our hearts more and more in line with God's heart, so the Spirit can then place on our hearts those things of God's heart. Let me give you some examples. We do lots of work in this church with two distinct groups of people. We do loads of work with children, with the under fives, with young families, with babies, tots, with those who are clever enough to work out where we've hidden the biscuits. And then we do a similar amount of work for those over 50, for the more elderly amongst us who still probably like biscuits, but they'd like them with a cup of tea, not a bottle of milk. Talk to Marion and Victoria, or to Anne and Carol, or to Ella and Belinda. Talk to Jean and Jean, or to Christine and Kay. And I don't think that they would use the word burden, but they will definitely tell you that they have had a passion put on their hearts to reach out to the people that they now work with to help them. In MCC or Craft Morning or whatever it is. And I absolutely believe with everything that I'm stood here with today that that burden has come from God because they have aligned their lives with God so God can place those burdens on their hearts.
And a burden can be something that God gives us for a season. I ran some leadership stuff for local clergy for nearly 3 years, two and a bit years. I was on holiday once. I felt God say, Martin, I want you to do this. I had no idea how to do it, what to do, what to say. What I didn't know, but I did it for 2.5 years until I felt God say, okay, that's enough. Don't do it anymore. So it can be for a season. The things that I've alluded to that we're doing in this church are much longer than that. Preschool, MU, they've been running for years. Not just a season, ongoing. Burdens come in all shapes and sizes. But the point is, as Habakkuk found out, God will put things on the hearts of those who love him because he has called us and is calling us to make a difference in the world. Maybe to one person, maybe to a small group of people, maybe to thousands of people. But it's that passion, it's that restlessness in our hearts that leads us to do something. And so the first question is, what is your burden? I believe fully what I've been saying about that parable of the talents. I believe God is saying to us, well done. Well done, St. Chad's Church. Well done. You have been faithful with a little. Marion, Victoria, Christine, Kay, well done. All the people who work throughout this church, Sparkles, Coffee Shop, whatever it is, well done. You have been faithful with a little. I am going to give you more. I don't know what that more looks like. Is it growing what we're already doing as a church? Maybe. Is it doing something new? Maybe it is. Reaching out to someone else in our local community? Maybe it is. What is God putting on your hearts? Because I think as we start to answer that together, we'll know exactly where God wants St. Chad's Church to be in 5 and 10 years' time. And that's my second point. Number two is this: share your burden, share your burden. This is a very old joke, but again, I love it. The vicar and his curate are stood near a sharp curve on a busy road, holding up the sign, "The end is near, turn round before it's too late." And a motorist passing by in his sports car yells out, "Idiots," shakes his head, waves his fist, and then he puts his foot down and whizzes off round the corner even faster. Moments later, the vicar's hear the sound of screeching tyres and then a big splash. And the vicar turns to the curate and says, maybe we should change the wording on our signs to "Beware, bridge collapsed." James said he would show people his faith through his deeds, through his deeds. I love, there's a story in 2 Kings and chapter 7. Israel are in trouble, of course, that's what we know of Israel. They're surrounded by the Aramean army. The Aramean army are much bigger than them, way bigger. This is a no-brainer. This is like Muhammad Ali taking on Kate Winslet in a rerunning of The Rumble in the Jungle. Israel are under siege. The Arameans thought that they're going to have a bit of sport before they go in and slaughter these frightened Jews. And so they've cut the city off, all its water supplies and its food supplies and everything. They've cut it all off and they're just waiting for them to starve and die of thirst. An old tactic used widely back in the day. But the Jews are God's people. Folks, we've got to remember that. We are God's people. You and I are God's people. And therefore, he is on our side. And therefore, victory is absolutely assured us. I don't care how many letters the guys up at Somerville write to MPs. I really don't. Because I'm part of God's people. And victory is ours. Well, he was on Israel's side that very day. And here's the thing, four lepers, four men suffering from leprosy who thought that they were worthless, not actually allowed in the city. It says that they're just outside the city gates. They're outcasts. That's how it was for lepers back then. It's as if they've been faithful Tottenham Hotspur supporters all their lives, and then suddenly they turn and they start supporting the Gooners. Dreadful. And they're cast out. Of course they are. And they think to themselves as they sit outside the city gates, what on earth are we going to do? If we go into the city, they're going to kill us. If we stay here, we're going to die anyway. What are we going to do? And amazingly, they decide to go into the Aramean camp and hand themselves over, a burden that I believe that God has placed on their hearts to do. It was madness, but it's only madness from a human point of view. Let's go to the Aramean camp. And it says this, if they spare us, we will live. If they kill us, we will die. So off they go. It is what it is. But when they get there, the camp is empty. Can you believe it? They couldn't. You and I, the readers, are told why the camp is empty. Because God has made the sound of a massive, massive army all around the Aramean camp. And the Arameans have all fled. How amazing is that? They get up and they fled at dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys. They left the camp as it was and they ran for their lives. And the lepers can't believe it. They come up on the lottery. Food, drink, gold, silver. They start taking selfies, lying on beds, covered in jewels and diamonds and eating a hog roast. Instagram has never been so busy. But then one of them sits up bolt right. And he says this, what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news and we are keeping it to ourselves. See, the burden that God places on your heart and on my heart isn't for us. We're already okay because we're in here. It's for other people who need help, who need support, who need love, who need healing. To cut a long story short, they go back to the Jewish city and they tell their fellow Jews in Israel, go up and Israel plunder the Aramean camp and all is well. Jesus says to us, let your light shine before people. He says to us, be the salt of the world. Don't just talk about being salt. Get up and actually be salt. That's why our weekend away is all about how we can be a more effective church from seed to harvest. What will 2021 look like for us? We will have, by then, a refurbished church, new coffee bar, great resources. What are we going to do with them? What are we going to do with them? And we as collective, each and every one of us offers something. That's why we want folks to come to Ashburnham, because it's going to impact our conversations as we go forward. I think in dramatic ways. Each and every one of us can be used by God to change someone's life. Are you sat there excited at that? Each one of us can partner with Jesus Christ himself and make this little part of the world a better place. That's exciting, isn't it? What is your burden? What is God putting on your heart? Who is God putting on your heart? The young, the old, someone else. I believe we're on a journey. I believe that with all that I am, that God is going to do wonderful things through us, that St. Chad's Church is going to be used for the glory of God in Chapel Heath. To feed, to heal, to help all sorts of people, to nurture children, to give old folk new purpose in life. And that's why I think God is shaking the tree. And I don't know about you, but I believe that God is really shaking the tree. This sermon series has been so hard. Hard for people to preach, hard for people to listen to. Why? I think it's because God is going to do great things through us. What might that be for you? Here's a question for you as I finish. Here's a question. The parable of the talents. We all know the parable really well. What do you think the servant in the parable of the talents thought? When he comes before the king, and he stretches out his hand with his 5 talents that the king had given him. And then he stretches out his other hand with the 5 talents that he made from that. And he gives it to the king. And the king takes it from the servant and he smiles at the servant and he puts the talents on the table next to him. And then he turns and he picks up another bag of 100 talents. And he turns to the servant and he places the 100 talents in the servant's hand. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. because you have been faithful with a little, I will give you much more. Now, go and see what you can do with them. What do you think the servant thought? As he looked down at the pile of talents, 10 times the size that he's just handed back over to the king. What on earth did he think? And more importantly, what on earth did he do? Where did he go? How did he use those talents that the king has given him? Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful with a little, I want to give you lots more. I'll leave you with that thought. Amen.